Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Howdy. I am Lieutenant Colonel retired Alan West, President and CEO of the National Center for Policy Analysis and former member of the United States Congress. And you are listening to Audrey Russo, my dear friend, on Real Talk Radio. Listen up, or else I'll drop you for push-ups. Thank you.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. In his national security strategy, the president finally put an end to the hub of Palestinian propaganda. And you may be shocked to learn he's the first president to state the obvious. And Hillary is still swooping around on her broom, and her erroneous attack on the GOP concerns something her husband is the master of. And we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Buzz Patterson, United States Air Force retired, is a military combat pilot, distinguished White House military aide, and best-selling author. He is the author of two New York Times bestsellers, Dereliction of Duty and Reckless Disregard. And his most recent books include War Crimes and Conduct Unbecoming. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome to Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson. Welcome.
Hello, Buzz. Audrey.
It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
And since it's your first time on our show, we, on behalf of myself and everyone at Real Talk, I'd like to thank you for your service to our great nation.
Well, thank you. It was my privilege, Audrey. I wouldn't change a day of my service. It was just a privilege to be wearing the American flag on my shoulder and flying in combat around the world. And it was just a tremendous time, and I wouldn't change a day.
And well, we're very grateful for it, and we continue to be so. You know, we're going to jump right in here, Buzz. President Trump's national security strategy implied that climate change lobby is a threat. It suggests that radical environmentalism is actually, and I love this, a national security threat. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, Audrey, I was so pleased the release of that document and the way he promoted it. You know, that document is used primarily for staffers and Pentagon leaders to craft how we go forward national security-wise. And for the first time, I think, personally, since Ronald Reagan, we have a president that's stepping out there and putting America first again, talking about American exceptionalism, which is a tremendous, dramatic departure from President Barack Obama putting climate change and LGBTQ LGBTGQ rights at the top of the list, and the military at the bottom of the list. So, you know, I know I've got a lot of friends and family members in the military, and they're just thrilled to have a commander in chief like Donald Trump.
I know. Even when I say his name now, I smile. So I love what he did. Of course, I'm sure you were thrilled as well, as Israel is, that the president finally, he was the first president not to give a waiver on this and pass that we recognize Jerusalem as the capital of, this is the obvious, okay, the capital of Israel. Of course, the UN drew up a resolution, which I think is hysterical, that the audacity that, that he was wrong and he needs to renege on that. And I'm thinking, yeah, right.
Well, that's a long time coming. And I tell you what, I'm so impressed with Nikki Haley, too. I mean, what a strong presence she is in that council. And, it's been a long time coming. It's where it should be, back in Jerusalem. And I endorse that 100%.
Absolutely. Also in the president's national security strategy, he destroyed a central Palestinian propaganda claim. He declared, of course, that Israel is not the cause of Mideast turmoil. So finally, a president makes no moral equivalence between our friends Israel and a terrorist entity, the PA. Isn't this long past due as well?
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that he's actually calling our enemy by name, radical Islam, fundamentalist, even George W. Bush wouldn't do that. Yeah. And of course, Obama stayed as far away from that as he possibly could. But the fact that President Trump is actually out there calling the enemy by the name, which is that, as a military guy, it's just one of the basic tenets, going back to Sun Tzu and the Art of War. If you can't or you refuse to identify who your enemy is, you cannot defeat them. So finally, Trump has put it out there. We know who the enemy is. That's a great, great thing for our military.
Exactly. And of course, the faux leader of the PA, Abbas, was whining immediately. Considering that Abbas, together with Arafat, formed the terror group Fatah, can he legitimately be considered a partner for peace, despite the fact that several American presidents claimed him to be so?
No, there's no way. He didn't have any legitimacy, I don't think. And I'm sure Trump feels the same way about that. The Muslim Brotherhood and Fatah and Hezbollah, there's no way we can factor those people into the equation, into the discussion about peace in that region. It just cannot possibly happen. We've got to get some stable actors in there to sit down and talk about the solution. But Abbas is not the guy.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful to the president that he took that away from them, because that has been hanging out there for decades, that Israel was the problem. And of course, we know it wasn't. I want to talk about Obama for a second. According to David Asher, a veteran Pentagon illicit finance expert deployed to combat the Hezbollah criminal enterprise, referring to the DEA operation dubbed Project Cassandra, he said, they, the Obama administration, serially ripped apart this entire effort that was very well supported and resourced, and it was done from the top down. Now, basically, in essence, for the listeners, Obama derailed Project Cassandra to save his Iran deal. So, Buzz, was this not treasonous?
I think it was highly treasonous. And we've known for decades, Audrey, that Hezbollah has been running drugs from Afghanistan through Iran to support their crime syndicate. And we have known that for a long time, even going back to 1983 when they bombed our Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon. And for Obama, he was so intent on scoring a seminal foreign policy accomplishment that he was willing to prop up Hezbollah at the expense of national security in this country and do that. And of course, we all know that the Iran deal in and of itself was a scam and basically just a bribe.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you should bring that up. I was going to refer to the fact that, Obama wouldn't give a flying Walenda about Hezbollah and that, for the listeners who are not aware, they are the jihadist Iranian proxy. As Buzz mentioned, that they murdered 241 Marines in Beirut in 1983. But for this reason alone, Project Cassandra should not have been derailed, nor should any so-called deal have been made with Iran. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. Nothing Obama did in his 8 years, Audrey, promoted or pushed forward American interests abroad. Nothing. And I think I could argue that pretty much everything he did in terms of the military and national security was a detriment. And we're going to take a long time to recover from those years, but I think President Trump's off to the right foot in terms of his new policy. But yeah, I think Obama was one of those guys that wants to lead from behind, and that doesn't work in the real world.
Yeah, I would say lead from behind or lead from his behind. But anyway, when you consider what Bill Clinton did with North Korea and Obama did with Iran, Buzz, wouldn't you say they were evenly matched as traitors?
I would say that. You know, I worked for Clinton in 1996, just after he agreed with North Korea in that framed agreement that actually provided several million dollars to North Korea and actually two reactors. So that's where their program really got the impetus to be where they are today. Now, that was 23 years ago, so we've kind of kicked the can down the road to the point now, Audrey, it's the 11th hour, which it's almost too late now for us to do anything with a good outcome. In my estimation, being a nuclear expert, what I see on the horizon for North Korea is that there are no good options. There's only less bad options. And I really applaud the way President Trump is speaking out against that and trying to work with China to corral their neighbor. But we're getting to the point now of no return in terms of their ability to deliver nuclear weapons and hit us pretty much anywhere in the U.S. they want to.
Yeah, well, you're a great source when it comes to Clinton. And, of course, no one really believes that. Did he really believe, and I know the answer to this, but that the money he was giving to North Korea really was going to be used for peaceful purposes?
No, he didn't. He was much like Obama. They were similar. I talk about this in Conduct and Becoming. They were very similar in their view of national security. They basically wanted to leave the job to the next guy. And I think he was just buying time. He knew he only had six more years in office, and he could buy the time, and they wouldn't be able to arm themselves that quickly. And the same thing with Obama and Iran. Iran is going to be on the verge of weapons here pretty soon as well. And if we allow North Korea to get them, then Iran is going to be right there on the doorstep as well. So we've created both those guys, Obama and Clinton, created the nuclear crisis we have today.
Yeah, and North Korea has an ongoing, if I'm correct, an ongoing alliance with Iran as well.
They do. And in fact, if you look at some of the footage from some of the missile tests and the detonations, you'll see an Iranian officer sitting next to Lil Kim in the booth there. So they have an alliance. They've been working together for a long time. There's a lot of money going back and forth between the two, technology as well. So it's a cabal.
In some ways, didn't Obama really rescue Iran because they were actually being harmed by the sanctions?
That's exactly right. We actually had our boot on their throats, so to speak, in terms of we had strangled them, and we were really getting to the point where we could really force them to make changes and to disarm. And he basically just facilitated them continuing on. So, again, he was looking for something that would be flashy, something that would be a legacy maker, and he chose to do it with those guys, and it's going to blow up in our face completely,
sure.
Literally.
Yeah, that's what's tragic for us. There was another similarity between Clinton and Obama was they were both the first black president, right?
Yeah, I bet you Clinton would still argue that he was. But,
Well, actually, the way if you look in the background, there's no Obama's. Remember, he was half cracker, so the other half
exactly.
Is not African. It's actually Middle Eastern. So he really isn't. So I guess they are equally the first black president.
Yeah, that's hysterical. That's so true.
Well, another individual you know well, the odious hag, also known as Hillary, is still opening her pie hole, and what comes out is, well, delusional. On the Ellen DeGeneres show recently, she said the Republican agenda was fanning the flames of white supremacy, misogyny, and homophobia. Now, look, I have no time to unravel her mental disorder, but considering what she's married to, how can she dare speak of misogyny?
Well, you know, Audrey, as you know, I worked in the Clinton White House for 2 years and actually lived there. I had a bedroom and an office in the White House and got to know both of them very, very well personally. She, back in those days, she was not quite as deranged, but she was very, very quick-tempered and profane, and she's incapable of accepting any blame or responsibility for herself. So the fact that I watched that interview yesterday, surprisingly, and I watched it, and you know, I could not, it doesn't surprise me. Anything that comes out of her mouth, I'm expecting her to say, because she is psychologically just mentally off, and she is incapable, as is her husband, of ever accepting responsibility for things that don't go their way.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, that back then she was quick-tempered, but not as bad. I mean, I understand she's just, you know, really gone now, as far as, you know, she has no fuse whatsoever.
I can't imagine it being any worse than what I witnessed, but apparently it is. I mean, I saw her throw things in the White House. This was 20 years ago, but I saw her throw things at people and, you know, fire people and just abuse people verbally up and down. So if it's gotten worse, I can't imagine being around her today.
Did you see her desire to be president back then, or was that still hidden?
Absolutely. In fact, I was there when the Monica Lewinsky thing happened. In fact, I was the first person on President Clinton's schedule that morning to brief him when the Monica Lewinsky thing actually hit the press. And I knew Monica, not as well as Bill did, obviously, but I knew Monica. And so when he got in trouble and she became the co-president, she started taking over all the meetings up in the residence, telling him what to say, what not to say, positioning the administration for the future troubled waters, basically. So she kind of assumed the position then. And my understanding is that they had an agreement that she would stick with him if he stuck with her. Uh-huh. So that whole thing was outlined back in 1998.
So she was starting her control then. It was all to protect her ability to become president?
Absolutely. There was never any intimacy between the two of them that I ever saw. Mm-hmm. Again, I live with them, so I was around them every single day. No intimacy whatsoever. And when he got in trouble and actually got caught finally, she just asserted herself and agreed to make it work for their own personal ego and futures.
Yeah, she. But her not getting off the stage now. She. Do you think she's delusional enough to think she's going to run again?
You know what? I hope so. I hope so. She's the gift that keeps on giving for me. She. You know. I would suspect probably not, but I bet you she's still considering it. So I wouldn't be surprised if she did, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pushed Chelsea out there as the next in line.
Yeah, I'm laughing about that. But have you seen some of her tweets?
Oh yeah,
she's not a genius. She's not a genius, I'll tell you.
No, she's not. She didn't get. You know, they're both pretty intelligent people, yeah. Obviously, but she didn't get any of that.
I guess it skipped a generation. I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I think probably the Democrat Party would hope she'd shut up by now.
Well, you know what? They're trying to push her out. You know, I saw an article this morning that says that her popularity ratings at an all-time low. I don't know how much lower it can go, but she is doing significant damage to the party, which is why I applaud it. As long as she stays out there and says the stuff that she's saying, it just helps our cause. It helps conservatism and the American cause. So I hope she doesn't go away, because she's entertaining. I'll give her that.
Yeah, exactly. Buzz, where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work and purchase your books, including War Crimes, the Left's Campaign to Destroy Our Military and Lose the War on Terror?
Well, Audrey, I hang out all the usual spots. So I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. My website, buzzpatterson.live. It's a great place to go for books and for just discussions. We post blogs daily there about key issues. And, of course, probably the best prices for the books, I would direct people to Amazon.com. And it's still time. It's still a few days before Christmas. And it's they make great gifts.
Yes, they do. And then Amazon does have most of us are Prime members at 2-day shipping, sometimes one, when they surprise you. So there's still time to get Buzz's books for Christmas. As always, I'll have all those links that Buzz just shared in my after show. That's on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the On Air button, and right under the show description, you'll find everything you need. Thanks so much, Buzz, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. Will you join us again on the show? Yes?
Anytime, Audrey. You bet. Anytime. Just let me know.
Awesome. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now. God bless.